Heavenly Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus as we get into your word for a few minutes that you would open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law or thy word. Psalm 119, verse 18.
Wanted to talk about some of the most commonly misused Bible verses when the topic of judgment, warning, and marking, which is a biblical divine mandate, that we mark false teachers, and the reason why God ordained and mandated that we do such, his people, is to keep a warning signal out, if you will, a warning itself out to his own people so that they can be protected from false teachers and false doctrines, which have as a goal to mislead, to steal, kill, and destroy from Christ's sheep and steal them from Christ. That is the eternal danger of soul, which is at the heart of God, at the heart of Christ, who is the great shepherd of the sheep. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, and John chapter 10. Notice what Paul prays in Colossians 1, as we begin here, to talk about the misapplied Bible verses when it comes to judgment and discernment and marking false teachers. Colossians 1, 9 and 10, Paul says this, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you," and here's what he prayed, "and to desire, not only to pray for him, but to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will," God's will, "in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Now that's going to be one of the most important elements of this message. It is the importance of growing in the knowledge of God. That right there will answer so many questions and distill in us the will of God and show us his wisdom and how to apply his word correctly and not to misuse it as we have all done. Now I'm talking to the body of Christ here, and we've got to be careful to study to show ourselves approved daily unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, and then rightly dividing the word of truth. The only way that the only way that you can rightly divide the word of truth is to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And as we let the word of Christ dwell in us, that is, as a body, richly, not only individually, but as a body, Colossians 3:16, then we're going to be able to teach and admonish one another in the wisdom of God. Colossians 3:16. God wants us to submit ourselves to him afresh as a living sacrifice, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:1-2. And also that we be washed by the water of his word through daily study of the word of God, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, that is, his body, with the washing of water by the word. I pray in the name of Jesus that this message will include a washing, a correction where we need it, and a washing away, if you will, of ideas that are not biblical. That's one of the reasons why God gave us his word, is for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness. Now, we've got to say with the Apostle Paul, "Let God be true and every man a liar," beginning with us. For me, it would be, "Let God be true and let Todd be a liar." See, God's word is final authority. Romans 3, verse 4. God didn't ask you or I to help him decide what he's going to put in his word, or what's right or wrong, or anything like that. That we weren't involved in that divine counsel. That was the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. But far too many of us today, that name and name of Christ, are emotionally driven out of our own uncircumcised hearts. See, only the Word of God and obeying it, the sword of the Spirit, can circumcise our hearts. But we have novices running around trying to stop Christ's disciples from obeying Christ and his mandate to expose his enemy. It's time to repent. And when we do, saints, we're going to get over ourselves, because this is not about us or what we think. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. It also says that he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Proverbs 28:26. And there's far too many, like I said, people that are running around emotionally driven because their hearts are not circumcised. And God is calling them and each of us to a true repentance, which will bring forth the fruit without exception, of loving the truth in a teachable, humble spirit. Are you teachable today, my friend? It is more than obvious to the true, mature Bible believer that warnings are put out by God throughout His Word, and those are to be echoed or spoken and given out by His people. Warning the flock of God is a divine mandate. This isn't man's idea. This isn't happening because Christians just run around judging everybody. That's a novice view of warning the flock of God. It's very immature. I don't mean to say that there's not some people out there doing that for the wrong motives, but we're talking about issuing forth warnings, markings, Greek word skopeo. That's where we get the word scope from, to identify, to put in the crosshairs and name individuals that are unrepentant and are spreading lies about the Lord. They're lying and bearing false witness against the Lord, and they must be exposed, because sheep, eternal souls, are in the balance. First of all, we are to warn because we are to obey God. His mandate is to mark those who cause divisions contrary to the doctrine of God. Romans 16, verse 17 and 18. Let's lay a little bit of a foundation here, friends. Romans 16, verse 17 and 18. I want you to become extremely familiar with this passage. The Apostle Paul says at the end of the book of Romans, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them." Now the book Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us, that's the number one selling book the ministry has. It's a landmark book on all of these topics we're talking about today. Naming names, marking false teachers. Jesus warned, Paul warned, Peter warned, John warned, all of the apostles of Jesus warned, as well as Christ, and so are we to warn. So you can get a real deep understanding from the scriptures in that book, which goes into great detail about marking and all of the facets of it. To mark is to identify, to put in the crosshairs, is the picture, the illustration we have from the word skopeo, scope, there in Romans 16, 17, and 18, where we're reading right now.
And again, for reference, it's Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, and the Greek for the word mark is skopeo, or aim in at and get into the crosshairs, should I say put into the crosshairs, those that are misleading God's people with manipulation and false doctrine. We actually have two books on this topic. One of them is titled Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us, and the other is a fascinating volume titled Predators in Our Pulpits, Invasion of the End Time Wolves, is the subtitle. Check it out on safeguardyoursoul.com on the store page. All of the books, there's 20 now, or 23, including the three that are now in Spanish on Amazon. Just look up my name, Todd Tomasella, Tomasella. Or again, go to the store page on safeguardyoursoul.com. Okay, so concerning Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18.
Perhaps this could be our foundational Bible text for today's talk. Now notice, Paul says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Notice, mark those who cause division. Mark those who, as Paul put it in Acts 20, are carrying away disciples after themselves by teaching false doctrine. And that means they are dividing them from the flock of God through that false teaching. The Bible tells us in 2 John, verse 7 through 11, especially verse 9, that whosoever transgresses and abides or remains not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So the Bible tells us here that if we don't abide, we don't continue in the doctrine of God, which is given to us in the scriptures, we do not have God himself. We're not in his kingdom. You don't only need to begin with the truth and obeying it, but you must continue in the truth to be made free unto and all the way into eternal glory. glory with Christ. That's what Jesus taught also in John 8, 31 and 32. To those that had believed, he said, if, it's a condition, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You got saved? Good. Stay saved. Stay saved. Stay saved by staying in obedience and faith-filled worship of God, according to the Holy Scriptures, letting God be true and every man a liar. Let me just say this, friends. There's never been a day in the history of the world where God is more calling us, and there's more of a need for us to be soundly grounded in biblical truth. And that's not going to happen by listening to mere men and running after the latest person that can just tell you what he says about God. It's not going to happen without you getting in the Word yourself and studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed in the end, especially rightly dividing the Word of truth. Again, 2 John verse 9, whosoever transgresses and abides or continues not in the doctrine of Christ, he hath not God. Could it be any clearer than that? So keep in mind, beloved saints, that when we mark those who cause divisions, there's going to be a backlash. A lot of times it's coming from even well-meaning novices, which we're going to get into some specific conversations that I've had recently that I think is going to really help us and to help us to be equipped and more astutely, rightly divide the word of truth in applying the Holy Scriptures. Some people will follow these false teachers and they become what we could call soul tied, T-I-E-D. No, I didn't say roll tied for all you Alabama folks. I said soul tied, tied together, like having this heart bond and affection with these people that in most cases, if they're successful and they become well known, like Joyce Meyer, like Kenneth Copeland, like Todd White, these people have ingratiating personalities. So if we're not being crucified with Christ, denying ourselves, taking up the cross daily and following Jesus, having our hearts circumcised continually and cutting away the flesh, the emotions and all of the things that are involved in the soul realm, then we're going to become attached to these personalities. And that's what a lot of people have done. Instead of becoming attached more and more, if you will, and more in love with our first love, our bridegroom, Jesus Christ. So what these people are doing by creating these soul ties with and just loving the personality of people. Here's another one that comes to mind, Jesse Duplantis. Most of you know I'm from New Orleans. I can relate to this guy. He's a Cajun. He's got personality galore. I mean, this guy's got personality. Beaucoup. It's a French word. You know what I mean? This guy's just loaded with personality. Anyway, a lot of people get ingratiated or enamored with all of that, and then they become so in love with these guys that when they start to see that they're being exposed for not preaching the original gospel of Jesus and therefore preaching another gospel or a false gospel, then they begin to attack the people that are actually marking them, that is, exposing the wolves that they have created a soul tie with. So the defenders of the faith are actually marking these false prophets in obedience to Jesus. And let me tell you, you got to be crucified with Christ when you set out to do this, because you're going to be attacked. You're going to be called jealous of the people you're exposing. You're going to be just lambasted by those who are actually hypocritically saying they're more loving, so they won't expose these people while they're bashing you and exposing you for just simply obeying Christ, which is total hypocrisy. I've seen that over and over for decades now on a daily basis, as many of you have also. So we're to mark those who are dividing the body of Christ, which is an offense to God, because they're teaching contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, that is, through Scripture, and we are to avoid them. And then he says this about them, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly or carnal appetites, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the heart of the simple. So perhaps we could tie this together, this causing of division through false teaching, to what the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, and how of your own selves, that is, from the midst of the professing body of Christ, shall men arise speaking perverse things or false doctrine to draw away disciples after them. See, that's the division that God is grieved by, and therefore these men must be marked. This is a paramount passage here in Acts 20, where the apostle in verse 27, well, first of all, in verse 20, he says, I have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. So Paul gave full disclosure of the Holy Scriptures and the truths of the kingdom of God, and it was in order to protect them from what he then begins to say a few verses down in this discourse, where he says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I have disclosed all of it. That's our protection. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield or protection to those that put their trust in him, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. And notice what he says here. So let me just stop to say this. A fully orbed Christian that is aware of and studying the full contents of God's word is going to be protected on every front from A to Z. God's word and the knowledge of it for you as an individual is your protection. Amen. And to fellowship with other believers who are full counsel, Bible believers. It takes a whole Bible to make a whole believer, a disciple. There's no such thing as a disciple of Jesus Christ who is not an astute, diligent studier of God's word. Anybody who's not in God's word is already backslid. Notice Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. He tells the elders that is a personal responsibility for all of us to take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, not only to yourself, first and foremost to yourself, but unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to do what? To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of men in ministry any longer as the prophecies of the last days foretold, that are taking personal heed to themselves and over the flock, and specifically as an overseer to feed the flock of God, to teach sound doctrine on a constant basis. We got a lot of people saying a lot of words. We have very few men that are simply teaching the Bible itself, which is what we see in Nehemiah 8, where they gave and read the scriptures distinctly. In other words, they read the scriptures themselves and gave the sense thereof. But the knowledge was and the focus was on the scriptures itself. To feed the flock of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That is extremely important right there. Jesus purchased his flock with his own blood. And I believe it's clear that the heart of the Savior is coming out through Paul. Notice what he says in verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing, when I leave, shall grievous wolves enter in, not sparing the flock. Now, Paul was foreseeing this by the Holy Spirit for the weeks, months, and years that ensued after he left the Ephesians elders here. But also, this is prophetic of the days we now live in, that grievous wolves are entering in, not sparing the flock, and they're causing division, as we read in Romans 16, 17, and 18, and we must obey God by marking them. They must be marked in order for the body of Christ to be properly protected, to take cover in the refuge of the truth of God. Again, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, their own carnal appetite, and by good words and fair speeches, many of them are very eloquent, deceive the hearts of the simple. And Jesus foretold and prophesied in Matthew 24 that in part because these false teachers are so effective, which he's also warning you about right there in Matthew 24. It's actually the first sign of his coming return. But because these false teachers are so
ingratiating, engaging, and
eloquent, and have such convincing good words and fair speeches, they're able to deceive the hearts of the simple, so much so that if those days weren't shortened, even the very elect would not be saved. This is a warning. And it should be a severe warning to each of us. And may the fear of God be multiplied in us this moment and forward concerning the need to be clinging to Christ, learning, studying, and rightly dividing His word like never before. Because Paul says that after His departing, these grievous wolves are going to enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Just like when we watch the documentaries on TV where the lions and the cheetahs and the different animals, the wolves, the hyenas, pick out a weak or weak deer in a flock or prey, whatever animals they're hunting in the flock of those animals, and they attack the weak one and they all jump all over them. See, and he's talking about that. That's the illustration here he gives, just like Jesus gave. Jesus said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening or devouring wolves, Matthew 7:15. Christ and his apostles continually and repeatedly warned us about grievous wolves. That alone, the fact alone that you never hear this kind of stuff in churches or from these modern pansies we call pastors, tells you that they're completely apostate. They themselves are these wolves that we must warn others about. The more popular they are in most cases, the more deceptive they are. You're not going to see people that are teaching the Word of God with these large, uncompromised, that is, in the fear of God. You're not going to see them with these multi-million people following. You're just not going to see that. Jesus said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. You preach the truth, which makes people holy, is not making people happy, most people, because most people don't want to endure sound doctrine. They don't want to fall on the sword. They don't want to be crucified with Christ through a daily crosswalk. They want their ears tickled. After their own unrepentant hearts, their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They heap to themselves. They put in front of them. They sit down before. They migrate to these false teachers to have their ears tickled. Anything but repent. Anything but a life change. Anything but saying, Lord Jesus, take over my life completely now. I surrender without reserve. In Jesus' name, I am dead from this moment forward, and my life is hid with Christ in God. I am crucified with Christ. That's what the true disciple declares, that he is crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, he lives, yet not him, but Christ that lives in him. And the life which he now lives in the flesh, he lives by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. Galatians 2:20. And how about 6:24? They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So God just told us who's of him and who's not. And those that are of God don't have an opinion about the Word of God other than that it is the truth and that they're going to cling to it no matter what it costs. They say with Paul, let God be true and every man a liar. So these wolves, these grievous wolves, Paul said, are going to enter in among you, not sparing the flock. How do they do that? Well, he tells us in 2 Corinthians 11:12-15, maybe in the beginning of that chapter also, he tells us they're going to preach another Jesus, another gospel, and it's fueled by another spirit, a demon spirit. These are grievous wolves. Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus said, but he said he came to give us life more abundantly, and that can't happen unless we're continuing in his word, and his word is going to continue to make us free as we endure to the end, abiding in Christ, lest we be cast into the fires of eternal damnation, John 15:6. The scripture tells and warns us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And the only people he's not going to be able to devour, deceive, and devour are going to be those who cling to Christ, who is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, and who gave us his word and said to the Father, sanctify them, he prayed, through thy truth, thy word is truth. John 17:17. Paul goes on to say here in Acts 20:27-32, in verse 30, and also of your own selves shall men arise right in your midst, not from the outside, not the Mormons or the Catholics. So those are obvious, very obvious antichrist false religions. But also he says, among yourselves. From internal, the domestic enemy is always the most dangerous. The Judas right among you is in close range to put the knife in your back, as we see in the case of Christ and his 12, and the betrayal of the son of perdition, even Judas, the domestic enemy, the one that is right in your midst. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, false doctrine, to draw away disciples after them. Now today we have gone so far in apostasy that those who gather around these false teachers are the majority among professing Christians. They're not off in a corner in some little small building or home. Man, they are the big building with all the people in it. For example, Joel Osteen. I mean, how many people go there? 20,000 on a weekend to hear these lies peddled? Anything but the original gospel? There's no repentance. There's no hell. There's no judgment. There's no cross. There's no blood of the cross, etc., etc. There's no holiness. It's anything but the original gospel. So I wouldn't get the picture that this is just a small little group over to the side. No, it's become the pervasive, the epidemic, the large numbers. I talk to people every day that are true disciples, as I seek to be myself. Most of us can't even go to these churches, either at all or very often, and palate this stuff. But who said that you have to go to a church building, so-called, on Sunday morning to fellowship? We talk about this a lot in this ministry, where a lot of people get proud of themselves because they go to church. Can't even go to church if you really are the church, right? Anyway, we are the church. We can't go somewhere we are. We already are the church no matter where we are. And so they get proud of themselves by church attendance once a week or twice a week. I don't know why, because the early church, they gathered house to house daily. They couldn't get enough of Jesus and his body, loving his body and fellowshipping with his body. So he says here, also of your own selves shall men arise. This is not a suggestion or a thought. This is definitive. This is going to happen, he said. Speaking pervert. This is at the beginning, or maybe a decade or two into the birth of the church, the body of Christ. So he said they're going to speak perverse things to draw away disciples after them. These are agents of Satan. These are the ministers of Satan. 2 Corinthians 11 says, verse 12 through 15, these are Satan's ministers who pose and who come off as angels of light or bright shining light. I mean, you look in Kenneth Copeland's eyes. He's got some kind of light shining in him. It's definitely not the light of Christ. Because if it was, first of all, how do we know that? Well, he'd be preaching the gospel of Christ. He's preaching anything but the gospel of Christ. He is by good words and fair speeches deceiving the heart of the simple, deceiving the willingly gullible prey. They willingly submit to these false shepherds because they are not submitted to Christ. Their God is their belly. So they got a light, but it's the light of Satan, not the light of Christ, the light of the world. Make no mistake, anybody who's walking in the light of Christ is preaching the gospel of Christ and all of its elements and doctrines in the fear of God, with no fear of man. So he says, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn. There it is, warn. Every one, night and day, with tears. Now, do you see how important this is to Christ the Apostle Paul, to protect the flock, to warn them? He was so imbued with or consumed with the heart of the great shepherd of the sheep, Hebrews 13:20, Jesus Christ, that he cried with tears 3 years, night and day, because he knew that grievous wolves were going to enter in among the flock and were going to separate unto themselves the sheep of Christ, some of the sheep of Christ's pasture. Now, if you don't think this is important to God to protect his sheep, if you didn't coming into this message before you listen to it, you should take heed to the word of God, my friend, if you're going to be a true disciple of Jesus, and look at the importance that we see coming out of the Apostle Paul.
Concerning the flock of God for whom Jesus gave his life. Let's close this message, saints, and we'll finalize it right where we are here in the book of Acts chapter 20. What an explosive passage that begins in verse 20 as we've gone over so far. Notice verse 28 again. Take heed, therefore, he tells the Ephesian elders, and that goes to us also. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Personal responsibility is most important. How can we help others unless Nevertheless, we are in the Word of God. We're in the will of God ourselves, which is the Word of God, walking in the Spirit and obeying the Word of God by marking false prophets so that the people of God may be protected. The Word of God, as we're in it, is circumcising our hearts. Also, John 15:3, now are you clean through the Word which I've spoken unto you. So the Word of God continually cleanses us as we are in the Word of God. It is getting into us and doing God's work in us so that God can do His work through us. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, not overlords, but overseers, to feed the church of God. Are we feeding the flock of God as we feed ourselves with the pure doctrine of the Word of God, the King James Bible, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood? For I know this, Paul knew prophetically by the Lord, that hereafter there was going to be something happening that's going to be very dangerous and we should take very serious. Notice verse 29, Acts 20, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And that's what wolves do. They come in and they start ravaging and eating and devouring and destroying the sheep of Christ's pasture like a cancer with their false doctrines and manipulations. And as they make merchandise of the people and simply do not preach the original gospel. And, you know, how are you going to know who's preaching the original gospel if you don't know the original gospel yourself? Well, you're not. And you're going to be destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people shall be destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. If you're not in the Word, studying the Word like your life depends on it, it's because you have rejected knowledge. You've rejected the knowledge of God, which is the Word of God, and it's because you don't love God. And you, my friend, are going to be deceived, and you're going to be destroyed. That's what we read, Hosea 4, 6. For I know this, that after my departing, Paul says, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. They'll have no mercy on the flock. Also, of your own selves, right in your midst, shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Notice they're speaking perverse things or perverted things, things that are not according to the original gospel. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And notice how concerned Paul was for the protection of the body of Christ. And that's exactly what kind of heart and life we see in every true elder today. If he's not warning you, it's because he doesn't care for you. He doesn't care that you get devoured by the false prophets of today, which Jesus said, many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Matthew 24:11. There's an epidemic of false prophets, saints, operating as ministers of Christ. Beware. If you've got a guy that you're sitting under that pretends to be a pastor, a minister of Christ, and he's not regularly always warning you about these very false teachers and false prophets that Paul's talking about, you better run for your life. You cannot be safe in an environment where you have a wolf that's not warning. He actually proves himself to be a wolf by not warning. That alone tells you he's a wolf. Again, Jesus warned, the prophets warned, the apostles warned, all of them. So if somebody's not warning, they are not qualified to be called a minister of Christ. They are a wolf. They are a wolf in sheep's clothing, pretending to be representing the great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus Christ, who gave his very life to protect and to save his own, the very sheep of his pasture. Notice verse 32 as we close. And now, brethren, I commend you to God God, to your relationship with God yourself, in the Word, in prayer, each and every morning as you awake, to lay down the foundation, to lay the foundation for a day of success in Christ. Joshua 1:8. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. You do it, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Also, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield or a protection to all who put their trust in Him. And how are you going to help protect others or even have the heart to do so if you're not fueling your own life with the Word of God by studying the Word of God and ingesting and devouring it every day as you get up each morning and seek the face of the Lord? And now, brethren, I commend you to God. He submitted them to God and to the Word of His grace. I'm submitting you to God and to the Word of God, which is able, Paul says, to build you up. If you're not in the Word, beloved, you're not being built up in Christ every day. You're not flourishing, you're famishing, because you're not feeding. You've got to feed and fuel your spirit and mind every day with the Word of God. You got to start every day on your knees, figuratively, or in prayer, I should say, and in the Word of God. I love getting up in the morning, and every night I declare before I go to sleep as I'm praying, I say, Lord, if you wake me in the morning, I'm just going to rejoice to get up with my hands raised and my heart to you and devouring your word and seeking your face in prayer for the body of Christ and for my own life. I love you, Jesus. And I pray other things out of Job 33:14-18 about sleep. But anyway, I love to do that. I encourage you to do that. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word, hello, of His grace, which is able to do what? To build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. You're not going to make it to the end. You're going to be one of the foolish virgins of Jesus's parable in Matthew 25:1-13 that does not make it. You're not enduring to the end if you're not in the Word of God, because you're not being built up, and therefore you're weak, and you're going to be devoured by the deception of the wolves and the false teaching. Okay, you're not Superman. You are absolutely in need of Jesus every waking second of your life. In fact, Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing, right? So you need to get up if you're going to endure to the end with Jesus and build yourself up in the Word of God and in prayer. Jude verse 20, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And that's how you're going to endure to the end and receive the full inheritance of eternal glory with Christ and the saints of the ages. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. That's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.